Hi everybody, I'm Beatrice Tapia. I'm coming to you today to talk about our program that it's based in South Texas, in Harlingen, Texas. So to give you a perspective, everybody is familiar with South Padre Island, so we're 40 minutes away from South Padre Island. My topic for today is learning outside of the classroom and environmental medicine and public health training program at the Texas-Mexico border. So I'm Beatrice Tapia once again. I have my colleague here in the audience, Dr. Noe Garza, way in the back, and our assistant dean, our dean of medical education, Dr. Leonel Vela, as well as within this talk. I have no disclosure at all. I wish I did for this type of work. So let me tell you a little bit about STEER. STEER stands for the South Texas Environment Education and Research Program. So here you have a fantastic group of students. We based our program really on interprofessional education. We are based within the School of Medicine, and we have this program specifically that talks about border health, and more students are coming to us for a global health experience as well. So from left to right, we have a School of Public Health student, Marcela Elizondo. We have a School of Medicine student, Jennifer Wilson. We have Ms. Lisbeth Iglesias. She was one of our fellows from the CDC coming in, as well as Christina Valenzuela, also a CDC HSHPS fellow, Dr. Daniel Rivas, and our nursing student, Virginia Black. So that just gives you an idea of the diversity that we have with our students. For my talk, I'll give you a brief description about our program. We'll tell you where we go, we take our students, what we do in terms of community-based participatory research, and the limitations of our study. So the STEER program is a four-week elective. It is, from what we think, the one of the few programs in the nation that really tells you about environmental medicine and public health and that merger. And for those of you that don't know about the medical school curriculum, we have less than 3 hours of environmental health in the medical school curriculum. So for us, it's very important to have and offer this elective at the national level. The STEER program really invites students to step outside of a treatment-based paradigm into a preventive one, really trying to reunite that public health and medicine. And being a clinician myself, you know, I was seeing individuals every day at clinic and then did not see the root of the cause. So I took off my physician shirt and went ahead and got my master's in public health as well. And currently I'm getting a doctorate in education, because we could be very good doctors, but we're not very good teachers. So having said that, you know, that is very important for us. We're located in Harlingen since 2004, and we've trained over 250 full-time students, and we have many hundreds of part-time students come along and visit us. Almost half of our STEER students come from Tier 1 schools. The STEER students have taught medical residents, medical students, dental students, nursing students, public health students, and health profession students. You know, within our mission statement, STEER's mission is really to engage, educate, and empower current and future health professionals by providing a compelling community-based educational experience that really connects the environment, public health, and medicine. And we also have our vision statement that is to foster health professionals to create and sustain healthy and resilient communities through the recognition, reduction, and or elimination of environmental and public health threats. So for our module, we have over 38 modules within the four-week elective. So a student can be going in the morning to the health department, in the afternoon could be going to a landfill. So within the topics that we usually cover, we have indoor and outdoor air quality, potable water, especially because of where we're located at on the border region. We also take our students to do some hands-on sampling of testing of the river water. The Rio Grande was known to be the highest polluted river in the nation, and that's the only source of our drinking water. That has now changed. We could drink the water now. But that changed with wastewater treatment plants and water treatment plants and binational treaties from the U.S. and Mexico. Our students also are able to do environmental exposure history taking and know about the vector-borne diseases such as dengue. Dengue fever is endemic in Brownsville, and we are setting up an arbovirus surveillance database because with dengue and now chikungunya and now Zika is coming along. So because of the tropical area that we live in, it's just a very unique situation where dengue is present, and you don't see that in the United States. So a picture says more than words. We have here a couple of students. The students on the far left are taking an environment exposure history at a dialysis unit. These are medical students and public health students. On the right-hand side, our students are actually out in the Rio Grande Valley, in the river, doing some hand sampling for E. coliform bacteria. 75% of the time our students are out and about. They're not in the classroom. We take them to the wall. We take them to visit the border wall. This is in Alamo, Texas, and we have a fish and wildlife inspector actually telling them about how this impacts the environment. Really how, you know, deers cannot cross, or just regular flora and fauna, how difficult and challenging it is, and things that we don't think about that happen. You know, we also have other types of modules that are included in these 38 segments. We talk about TB and bi-national TB programs that exist for the dislocation, heavy metals and pesticides. We talk about the environmental factors, specifically as it relates to obesity and diabetes. McAllen was number one for obesity at the national level. And South Texas, we are one of the leading, still number one in obesity. That's not really good to be number one in. But we also have our you know, bi-national, Northern Mexico is number one for obesity as well. So think about the environment. What is happening there? And as I tell my students, if we can make a difference in Harlingen or in the border area, we could serve as a model at the national level for both countries. We also have the opportunity to talk about cultural sensitivity and different aspects of cultural competency. Our students go and visit with a curandera. We talk about herbal medicine and folk healers. They learn about life in the colonias. A colonia is considered a neighborhood, an underserved neighborhood that has different challenges. It could be lax lights, street lights, paved streets, water. So students are exposed to that. So when they think, are we in the United States? Yes, we are. This happens in the States. We are very poor in South Texas. They are also exposed to the access of medical care and the lack of insurance and the cultural differences, because this is important. Living on the border, it's very unique that patients don't have enough money to buy their medicine here, so they have to cross. And they get their medicine very inexpensive in the neighboring country in Mexico. But with that comes a lot of challenges, because sometimes medications are not similar, even though the names are the same. So we have to educate our students about that as well. So here our students are out and about again. They are at a Superfund site. This is a remediation site for PCBs, and it is in Donna, Texas. PCBs are known to be a carcinogen. So here they know what a Superfund site is, and we have the EPA actually come and give a talk to our students. Our students go out and do what it was before, very traditional, house calls. People don't do house calls anymore as clinicians, so we actually have our students paired up with community healthcare workers and walk the street. So that this is very eye-opening for them, and it makes a difference. It really leaves an imprint in terms of population health. I've had students come back to me and say, I did not know that when I'm telling them you have to exercise, well, it's very dangerous to even run or walk around their neighborhood, and I'm asking them this. So having this exposure is pivotal for students that are sometimes sheltered in a classroom setting. We do, as I said, we take them to a curandera. So this is actually one of our medical students having a cleansing. And we take them also to the health departments, the Texas Department of State Health Services. Ironically, our students do not know what a health department does, and as medical students. So even when they're residents in training, they have no knowledge of what reportable diseases are. So catching them at the medical school, you know, facilitates that when they're resident in training. So that's important. And for some of you, that would be really interesting because we're public health professionals, but in medical school, we still are working in silos, unfortunately. So the sickness setting of being on the U.S.-Mexico border really helps us do these in vivo presentations that we could talk as much as we want in terms of in a book setting, but taking the student out of his comfort zone is really important for us. So it's very transformative. Our students usually are not only challenged to go to these different segments during the week, but they also want to volunteer. So on weekends, they go and volunteer on their own to shelters. We have detention centers that they could go to. They, just being with students and just being with the unaccompanied minors and hearing their stories just makes a true difference. So these are just more pictures. So STEER at a glance, what type of students are we getting at the national level? So we are getting, the majority of our students are medical students, but we also have an array of medical students, dental public health residents, MPHers, medical residents, and we have dual degree program students that also come. So what we pride ourselves is really in filling the void and calling us the added value. So the border has really a high prevalence of acute and chronic disease versus the national average. We have to really focus on prevention. Preaching to the choir here, but you know, it's very cost effective in terms of decreasing that widespread of chronic disease. And so for us here, we, with the unique blend of service learning and research, we hope that in bringing our students, we are preventing you know, chronic conditions. So the STEER program is a key component in terms of MD-MPH program that is based at the University of Texas Health Science Center. We are very fortunate to be training medical students in their second year. And with the STEER program, they come out and they get dual credit. So they get credit in the School of Medicine and in the School of Public Health. So we're very popular. They get a twofer. And that's very hard to do because once you're credited a course in the medical school, you have to go and accredit it at the School of Public Health. So that just took a year and a half to do in terms of all the memorandums of understanding and things like that. Here are students, they have fun. They go to the zoo as well, and the zoo serves as sentinel for disease. And our zoo veterinarian talks about how West Niles was actually diagnosed by a zoo veterinarian. So this is another place where our students go. They are with Dr. Goolsbee, and he's talking about bioagents. And here he talks about a wasp and how specifically it targets a plant that is a Carrizo arrendus, and it is a plant that dries up the river. So it's important that this wasp mitigates that Carrizo cane, it's called. In terms of the opportunities we have for border health trainings, we've been very fortunate, and there's been lack of funding now, but from 2005 to 2013, we actually served as a site to train CDC interns and fellows. And with that opportunity, they did the four-week elective, but they stayed and did different types of community projects to better the health of residents in South Texas. Here are two of our trainings, Carlos Ramos and Monica Rousseau, and they're teaching high school students. They're teaching high school students about heavy metals. So, and this is very important for us. Not only do they get the training, but they are also able to teach. And here Monica is actually talking with community healthcare workers and asking them about their needs, and they wanted a health brochure, so she's developing a health brochure for them. Now let me just briefly talk about limitations. We don't have a direct source of money. Ours is soft money through special programs, so we could get cut any day now. But fortunately we haven't, and we still, you know, are very lucky with that. We're only considered a core credit from the MD-MPH. We're not a requirement for the medical school, so it's an elective. But we are very popular because we serve as an MPH practicum. Students take this as an elective, and one of the main limitations is we can't take a lot of students because we're limited by a van seating from 7 to 12 people. And because it also, we're taking our students to where people work. So we can't bring 30 people to the health department. We have to be very respectful of that. So With that, these are a couple of quotes that our students have said. And just a brief promo, we are going to have a new medical school on the border, and we're really fortunate about that. UTPA, University of Texas Pan American, and University of Texas at Brownsville have merged, and now we're University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. And within that university that serves 28,000 students, we have 20,000 students. Now we'll have a medical school, and we'll be starting in the summer 2016. So with that, you know, this is our program, and if you're interested, please send us students, and if you want to come as health professionals, we would love to have you. Thank you.